thanks for downloading this episode of the Black Vault Radio. This is an interview about the mystery of QAnon with a major voice in the Q movement by the name of Jordan Sather. The views represented in this program do not necessarily represent those of myself, nor does it represent a political endorsement. Some topics may be disturbing to some audiences. Listener discretion is advised. It's the 17th letter of the alphabet, and it's considered the least common letter utilized in the English language. But beginning in October of 2017, this single letter began representing a movement. And it was all spawned by an unknown anonymous account who began posting on the social media network known as 4chan. With the idea that the poster held a high security clearance and was possibly connected directly to the White House, the number of followers to these online posts, known as Q drops, exploded.
So Q was gone for about 21 days, and they posted two drops late last night, and since then, 8kun has been under heavy attack.
The movement is now referred to by many names and phrases: QAnon, The Storm, The Great Awakening. But no matter how you refer to it, there's one fact that no one can deny. It's got one heck of a following. The Q movement touches upon some of the deepest, darkest conspiracy theories that exist today. And whether you believe in them or not, signs of the Q movement have popped up in Trump rallies, political commercials, and of course, all corners of the internet.
About a minute, 55 seconds into the video, we get this shot of a woman in a Q shirt, smiling at the camera, front and center, and come on, guys. This is just no accident at all. And some people are literally still trying to call it a LARP or fake or some conspiracy theory that's made up.
My guest today is Jordan Sather. He's an influential voice in the Q movement. With an online following of more than 350,000 subscribers that watches YouTube videos, read his Twitter posts, and follow him on Facebook. Jordan is here to offer an inside look into the Q movement. What is it? Does the media accurately represent it? And what is the end game to it all? Stay tuned. You're about to journey inside the Black Vault. That's right, everybody. As always, thank you so much for taking this journey inside the Black Vault with me. And on this journey, joining me is Mr. Jordan Sather. Jordan, thank you so much for joining me here.
Thank you for having me on, John. Much appreciated. And hats off to you for having the courage to do this show, too. You know, I know out there, especially in the sort of the UFO community, this topic can be very controversial. It can trigger people in all sorts of ways.
What? So, are you sure about that? I think this is the only show I've done where there's no controversy whatsoever. I think we're just skating right through this.
That's a knee slapper.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I do appreciate those kind words. The controversy, which I know is something we're going to get into on this, that surrounds this, what I would call a movement, and correct me if I'm wrong by using that word, but the Q movement, but also QAnon as a whole, what it's all about. And it was really interesting in the preparation for this show, doing that research, then talking to you and doing more research. I told you off the air, it was like looking at two different things, the way the media portrays it and so on. And so we're going to get into all of that and dissect what this is all about. But first, Jordan, if you'll just indulge me for a minute, I wanted to give the audience just an idea of how this show came to be, which all stems from a Freedom of Information Act response that came from this CIA letter here. And a while back, I'd requested under the Freedom of Information Act documents on QAnon, not expecting a lot. Some people thought, well, you're, you know, going for the identity of QAnon. No, not at all. If that came along with it, great. But I did. That's not what I expected. The short of it was I was looking for, what did they have? Did they have anything? Were they looking into it? What was going on? And so I filed this request, and to my surprise, the CIA responded and gave what's called a GLOMAR response. In short, that means they will neither confirm nor deny the existence that records even exist. You can put up an argument that maybe that's just standard, or they may have something. My argument, if I were a betting man, which I am, would be they probably do have something. What it says, obviously, we don't know. I posted this online and said that I didn't buy into, I believe I worded it, the Q conspiracy thing. You had seen that, commented back, and said, hey, you're essentially missing out. I'm paraphrasing here, but you're missing out. And so I responded back and I said, you know what? You might be right. Join me for a conversation. And here we are. You accepted that. And I appreciate you doing so and kind of taking some time with a novice here, because even though I'm familiar with kind of the broad stroke, I'm really not familiar with it all. And after speaking to you and looking at media articles, and even the media contradicts itself, by the way. Like, I'm not just saying
all the time.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Right. Which shouldn't come as a shock to a lot of people. But I do want to stress that it's like when they're covering the same topic, they are giving different meanings to what this all is. So that's my babble here in the beginning, because I wanted to give everybody a little bit of genealogy here of how we came to this moment of exploring this topic. So again, Jordan, thank you for joining me. And I'm just going to start with, you know, the basics here and have you explain to me first, what is Q?
So the short definition of that, long answer long here, is that Q is, it's not a who, it's more, or it's better understood as a what. Q is essentially a intelligence dissemination program being conducted by what we could say is military intelligence insiders that are in and around, directly connected to the White House. And what they're doing is they're using anonymous online posting boards to put out all sorts of different posts in the form of questions and cryptic statements. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for the crypticness and the questions. We can get into that. But they're posting on these anonymous online posting boards all of this information to essentially bypass all of the controlled legacy media, all of it, whether it's mainstream media or even the controlled opposition and the alternative media. That's a huge roadblock there. So they conducted this program and just used the symbol. It's a symbol, not necessarily the letter, but the letter being that Q symbol. And they stamp these drops with that symbol. And they use this particular symbol in all sorts of subtle ways to sort of confirm it outside of these posting boards. But in the last 2.5 years of, I think, 3,800 drops now, there's been just an incredible amount of data that's been able to be pieced together by the researchers analyzing these drops. And it really confirms that there's essentially, number one, a shadow civil war going on behind the scenes outside of the media that we're not seeing, between basically good guys and bad guys within the government, within the military industrial complex. And these Q drops are giving us essentially a play-by-play. Like, we're able to follow along and get somewhat of a behind the scenes picture, not the exact thing, not everything that's going on per se, but it's helping us piece together a whole lot from all across the board.
So let me ask you, before we get into the content of these drops, I always like to ask guests how they get into the topics that they're talking about. When did you get drawn to this, and when did you get involved? Because obviously you're a pretty influential voice right now in this entire narrative. How did that start for you?
Yeah, so it goes to be said here that I started, I guess we could say, information sharing online. I started basically going public at the very beginning of 2017. Because I guess I was just fed up with the way the world was going. I remember reading the WikiLeaks emails and seeing everything that was in there. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, people have to be talking about this because the mainstream media, they're just not. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been researching into big pharma for years and years and the UFO phenomenon for years and years. So there's just so much stuff that I started my YouTube channel, Destroying the Illusion, in January of 2017. And by the time October came around, I had about 40,000 to 50,000 subscribers. And I was doing about half of my videos were sort of news updates. I'd be following along and tracking what the mainstream media is not talking about news-wise. And then the other ones, I would be just going off on different subjects, whether it be climate change, vaccines, UFOs, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I remember on October 10th, 2017, this was about 3 weeks before Q's drops. This was the day when President Trump was in the White House. He was having dinner with a lot of his military generals and admirals, his staff. And there was this moment where he was in the White House. He had about 30 generals around him. And he goes, you know what this is? To the media, they were taking pictures. This is the calm before the storm. And the media asked him, they go, Mr. President, what does that mean, the calm before the storm? And he literally winks at him and says, you'll see. And that was it. And it was such a sort of cryptic, odd moment there. And a lot of people were speculating what that actually meant. And I did a YouTube video about this with a cheap $20 whiteboard. Those were the kind of videos I was doing at the time, just trying to dissect, you know, what the heck does this mean? I actually said, I think this means that data dumps are coming and we're going to get some sort of like official disclosure. I can't remember exactly what I was saying, but that's what I basically foresaw with that. Well, come 3 weeks later, these posts started appearing on 4chan. That was the website they were using at the time. 4chan was the first one. And at first, I didn't, you know, I had no idea what I was looking at. I was trying to piece it together. The drop started on October 28th, 2017. I didn't come across them until about maybe October 30th, 2 or 3 days later. I saw them first on Twitter. And it wasn't until about November, maybe 1st or 2nd, the first couple of days of November, that I actually started talking about it on YouTube. It took a couple of days to try to, you know, piece together what I was reading. And it started to make sense that these were some sort of drops from some sort of insider. I had no idea who or what they were conveying or what the reason being was, but it looked at the beginning to be legit. Now, it took me about 1 to 2 months to really get on board. I was really skeptical. You know, I was pretty awake and aware back in like 2012 and 13. And, you know, there was all these talk of mass arrests back then that nothing ever happened. So once you're in this for a few years and awakened to the level of, I guess we could say darkness there is out there, but also that idea that good guys are behind the scenes fighting it, you're like always hoping for something to happen, but you learn to never expect something because your heart will just get broken.
Yeah.
And so that's why it took me a couple months to really sort of get on board with it and begin to realize that it wasn't any kind of psyop or fake or hoax or actual conspiracy theory. Like, they were legitimate posts in some way. But granted, it didn't take me 2 months to really, or I should say, it didn't take me just 2 months to understand everything fully. I mean, there's still stuff we're learning years on into these drops now, but that's how I really came across it. I started talking about it on YouTube, and just the growth from there then was incredible. It really, seeing how many views I was getting and subscribers I was getting, it was incredible the way that these sorts of posts were resonating with people.
So let's, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to now get into, like, when you saw these original posts, and obviously it wasn't just one or two, they had continued. Let's kind of drill into those first posts. What were they? Because they obviously caught your eye within a few days of being dropped. What were they saying other than something was going to happen, or?
Yeah, so great question. The drops within the first few days, first week or two, the reason why it caught my eye was because of how expansive the topics within the drops were. It was talking about almost everything under the sun you could think of in conspiracy land. I mean, they were talking about money being siphoned from Department of Defense budgets, questioning who audits where the money goes. Well, the question of that is, you know, nobody's ever audited the Pentagon before President Trump got into office. And then the first one they did was in 2018. It was talking about the Rothschilds and central banking and the different families that controlled trillions of dollars of wealth, the House of Saud, the Rothschilds, George Soros. It's talking about the Titanic and questioning what actually happened with the Titanic. It was talking about just so many different things, and especially a lot of different political figures and their connections as well, asking questions about the connections between say, Prince Al-Walid in Saudi Arabia and the Clinton Foundation, and just different figures in and around the Clintons, the Obamas, just all those, you know, deep state figures, I guess we could say. And that's what really caught my eye, how holistic it was, how broad it was, because then you really had to say, okay, this isn't just some low-level insider that's compartmentalized away in one particular, I don't know, group or program, but these drops, these questions, they've got to be coming from somebody or some group that has a holistic view of things, a big picture perspective, and they are letting this go public. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest thing. You know, they're bringing this to the public for a specific reason. And that's really what happened in the first few weeks of drops. And it was really kind of a shit show, I guess we could say, because now we have websites that amalgamate the drops. So you can go to qmap.pub, qanon.pub is another one. There's a few other ones out there, but these particular websites people have made since the beginning to capture all of Q's drops on 8kun now is the website name, but it captures the drops and amalgamates them so they're easy to read. You can go to qmap.pub, read them from day one, and all you see is the drops. So that's the easiest way to read them. Mm-hmm. And it's important to note here, something to specify that you mentioned in your intro, is that it is important to separate Q's drops from the Q movement or different figures in the Q movement and what they say. Mm-hmm. So Q's drops, that in and of themselves, go ahead and read those. Try to analyze those in your own head. Ask or answer the questions in your own head. When it comes to reading the decodes and the analyzings of people like me and whoever else is out there talking about Q, some of the drops and decodes are so subjective that it's, you can't say that they You're have right to do or with wrong. Q, because they don't. It's just that particular person and what they're saying. Oftentimes, you'll see trolls on the internet or the fake news mainstream media, they'll try to take a subjective decode from a person in the movement and then try to slap that onto Q and make the Q drops look bad from that subjective analyzation. So that's important to note. And yeah, there you go.
No, that's great. Now, but before we move on with more of the content, you have said a couple times that they're dropped on these anonymous message boards, starting with 4chan. I think you said 8kun is the one that's now. If these boards are fully anonymous, how do you know that somebody's just not taking the name or posting something that isn't,
or some dude in his basement?
Just, yeah, kind of. I mean, like, yeah. How do you differentiate between a genuine drop and something that someone's just trying to latch on and start a movement of their own?
Right. And this is one of the most important things to understand, and something that they obviously figured into their equation when they were planning this whole operation, is that, yeah, it's anonymous. We have to prove the legitimacy in some way, shape, or form. And they've been doing that almost every single day for the last 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And this has been come to be known as Q proofs or proofs or something like that. But basically, instances where they are proving their legitimacy, that the Q drops are being made by somebody close to the White House or directly in touch with the president himself. So very early on, they were much more subtle because, of course, not as many people were reading the drops. They weren't trying to prove themselves to as many people who, you know, weren't believing it or getting the cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. So very early on, they were pretty subtle. For instance, on November 4th, 2017, so this was about 6-7 days into Q posting, there was one drop that said, where they said, everything has meaning, and then the next line said, plus, 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 and they signed off as Q. 7 minutes later, you can timestamp it, 7 minutes later, on President Trump's Twitter, he made a tweet talking about some sort of executive order that was signed. I don't know, the topic's not important here. What's important is that at the very end of the tweet, plus, 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 just completely out of nowhere, out of context. And for those who didn't read that Q post, have no idea about Q, yeah, you might think that President Trump's tweets are all crazy and he's just senile and misspelling everything. Mm-hmm. But when you have the bigger picture perspective of, oh, wow, here was this drop made 7 minutes beforehand, and this poster is claiming to be an insider with connection to POTUS, then you see the president's tweet 7 minutes later with that exact thing in there. You know, that's the kind of proof we're talking about here. They're subtle, but for those that know what they're looking for and are understanding of the movement, they see it. Now, that was very early on. Another proof very early on, and this is something where they prove their foreknowledge of events. This has happened many times as well. Some of these proofs might be between Q's drops and like the president's Twitter or the Twitter of the Navy or the official Twitter of the military, something like that. Mm-hmm. A lot more of these proofs have to do with foreknowledge. So, for instance, within the first week of Q's drops, they kept referencing Saudi Arabia, SA, and asking all these questions about Saudi Arabia, about Prince Al-Waleed, who was a billionaire prince in Saudi Arabia, connections between Al-Waleed and the Clinton Foundation, connections between all that sorts of stuff, mm-hmm. the trafficking, the crimes against humanity they do. Well, November 6th, 2017, what happens that day? We get a huge corruption purge over in Saudi Arabia. Dozens of princes were arrested. Prince Al-Waleed was one of them that was arrested. And, you know, that storm began ensuing there. So how did this poster know, essentially, or know something was going to happen over there? Question us about Saudi Arabia literally a day or two before a corruption purge happens in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And again, this is just one example of that kind of foreknowledge. We can go through many other ones here. Q posting about the Lord's Prayer before the Pope officially changed the Lord's Prayer. Q posting about Jeffrey Epstein all the way back since 2017. Oh, wow, Jeffrey Epstein got arrested last year and somehow didn't commit suicide in his cell. Mm-hmm. Q was posting about John McCain literally 1 month to the minute before it was announced that John McCain passed away of brain cancer. Q posted a photograph of John McCain saying, "No name will return to the news soon." No name is essentially the term they used for John McCain at the time. But many instances like this, all these kinds of foreknowledge, all these kinds of proofs, like why does the president keep retweeting Q researchers? You would think if Q is so fake, or if it was such a dangerous LARP or some kind of crazy cult, like a lot of people try to paint it as, why would the president retweet Dave Hayes, Prang Medic, who's a huge name in the Q movement, Q world? Why would the president's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, tweet the video of a friend of mine, Joe M? That's what he goes by. Mm-hmm. And he's a huge Q researcher, Q follower, Q promoter. President's daughter-in-law tweeted his video. That was just last week.
Yeah, I saw that because mm-hmm. Joe M, including yourself, had sent out this CIA post that I did, which I think probably was responsible for making it much bigger than I expected it to be. But yeah. I did see that Laura Trump had done that. So
yeah, she tweeted one of his videos. And this is just what's recent. We can go back to other Q proofs throughout the years. One of them was the Air Force One had the call sign literally was Q. So a call sign is what aircraft, when they go up after they take off, usually they'll be given a call sign by the mm-hmm. FAA or the air traffic controllers to designate the plane. Sometimes the pilot can make their own call sign. And this particular instance, Air Force One, I think Trump was on his way to a rally or something like that. Air Force One had the call sign Q. And Q posted on the boards, "Do you believe in coincidences?" At various Trump rallies, he's pointed at people in Q shirts. He's pointed at signs. Last August, somebody almost in the front row at one of Trump's rallies held up their child, their baby, in a onesie, and they had a Q on the back of the baby, pointing it around the audience. And then the president actually pointed to the baby and said, "My, what a great baby, what a beautiful baby," pointed it out for everybody to see. And there was a Q on the back of it. They taped on and it was noticeable. Mm-hmm. You know, Trump at the podium had to have seen it. That was not an accident.
So are these proofs and kind of these, I guess, confirmations as time goes on between the drops that go and then kind of foretelling what's going to happen? Is that what told you or people that have been following from the beginning? But since I'm talking to you, I'm directing it to you. Is that what really told you that whomever was doing this, or if it was a group of people, were truly on the inside? Or was there anything else in those beginning days and weeks that you went, "Hey, wait a minute, this is someone that's really on the inside"? Like, what was the evidence that you took to yourself saying, "This is it, it's something I have to follow"?
Yeah, it was really the proofs was one of those, and the confirmations that just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. Also, it was the depth of the information as well. So if it was going to be some sort of LARP, live action role play, a faker essentially, or if it was going to be some sort of like deep state psyop where they're trying to paint themselves as being white hats or patriots when they're actually just messing with us in some way. The depth of the information that was presented. So in other words, you know, I don't want to go too deep into the dark stuff per se, but the amount of information that they brought out in regards to the human trafficking and child sex trafficking that there's, I mean, there is evidence out there for this sort of stuff, especially in elite circles. You know, I won't name any names here specifically.
Well, we see it in the news. Like, and you know, we talked about this being the uncomfortable part of the interview. We know, though, by the news that there are those people in elite positions that are going down, whether you talk about Hollywood, whether you talk about the billionaire. You know, it's going on. And this might be a really great time to ask you if I can jump in about this note. Because obviously this plays a role in this movement to kind of rid what is going on behind the scenes. The media portrays QAnon, the Q movement, however you want to refer to it, as that this is everything that you believe in. This is the core of everything.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you.
Every time you read something from the mainstream media, that's like the one line that they all just copy and paste, that they all get from, I don't know, the CIA news wires directly to their secure drop. Yeah. They just copy and paste, oh, global Beto rings, blah, blah, blah. You know, what I've come to see in Q's drops is that they just basically want the disclosure of everything, just truth out there, whatever that corruption may be, whatever that truth may be. And, you know, like I said, the fact that they were going into these sorts of dark topics, that didn't seem like a deep state psyop to me.
Mm-hmm.
They would not want that information out in the public domain. And the fact, this is something else that sort of sold me on Q, that let me know that they have access to something and they, you know, want more of a full disclosure. But they also started getting into some of the weird stuff. And by weird stuff, I just mean, well, obviously not weird to your audience, but weird to like the sort of typical conservatives and Q people I often talk to. But for instance, Q did touch on space programs exist outside of the public domain. Q did touch on extraterrestrial life is existing, but it's been of the highest classification to the military intelligence industrial complex. Q's been talking about gold ending the Federal Reserve fiat central banking system. A lot of these things they started getting into. So that let me know that they have access to something and they do want disclosure of, you know, greater information. So those are a few things. And also you did just bring up the fake news media and how hard they attack it. And that's definitely something that sold me on it. You know, the fact that there's been now over 1,000, maybe upwards of multiple thousands of articles that have literally been written within the last 2 years to attack QAnon in some way, shape or form. Thousands. That is a lot of money and manpower and graphic designers and writers and editors that they're paying to produce this content. And some people tasked by, say, the Washington Post or the Daily Beast, they're literally tasked to just follow QAnon. So how hard they went against it and how many lies have been printed about it. And not just that, lies printed about Q itself, but lies printed about people who talk about Q, like myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been taking a brunt of attacks in the mainstream media the past couple of months over subjects that actually don't have anything to do with Q, but they're trying to tie it into Q.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it's guilt by association, I guess. So yeah, how hard they were going against it and still to this day, almost every day, releasing some sort of article about it at the highest levels of the mainstream media, activating the New York Times and the Washington Post and Anderson Cooper and all of them to do segments on it. Is that, you know, would it be fake? Would it be LARP? We just have to be logical about this. The biggest thing about Q to understand it is just logic. Asking the questions, would this be happening if this weren't the case? Or is this being confirmed or proven or something? Because we get a hint or a piece of evidence over here. You know, the people say that it's baseless or that there's no evidence, just purely have not spent an ounce of their time looking into it. Or the only looking into it they've done is through a Google search, and all they look at is the first page that's curated algorithms just to, you know, brainwash them with. So you just have to take the effort to go that extra layer below and spend a few hours digging into this.
Is the belief that the mainstream media, with the attacks and these kind of essentially, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but it sounds like you're just saying they're hit pieces against QAnon and the Q movement. Is it because there's true, like, let me not guess. Let me ask you, what is the true motive, do you think, that the media is targeting you personally, but also tying in the movement and QAnon to something that, although it sounds like it's a part of it, some of that dark corruption, which actually is evident in government documents, as uncomfortable as that is, for those that are kind of, you know, squinting, saying, I don't want to hear about that, I do have documents from the Office of the Inspector General, Office of the Inspector General offices, where they look into child pornography on numerous computers of high-ranking government officials. And I had come out with that IG report a couple years ago. Obviously, it was headlined elsewhere as well. And it's something that's real. I mean, that sadly, we don't want to talk about it, but it's something that's real. But going back to my question, why do you think that they just say, oh, all they want to do is expose this, you know, child pedophile ring? And that's really what they make it seem. So,
well, they're going so far towards this end of the spectrum and trying to dress it up as being crazy. So that'll instantly make the mainstream public and the normies, as we could say, or whatever the case, people who aren't familiar with this stuff, it'll instantly make them catalyze the other way, and they'll go, oh, this is crazy stuff, I'm not going to look at it. So that's one tactic of many. Of course, our mainstream media these days, which they might as well be Nazi propaganda, it's all the same techniques, Goebbels-esque. There's many different techniques that they use, whether it's the neuro-linguistic programming that they write their articles with, where they use a lot of those sorts of techniques, whether they're attacking conspiracy theories or ideas, whether they're attacking QAnon or vaccines or whatever the case, they'll either go against the topics or they'll attack the individuals themselves that are talking about that. So I'll get written about people like Joe M and others, and not just in the Q community, but of course the sort of alternative media in general gets attacked by the mainstream media all the time. And I'm sure you have before.
A couple times, on this topic, but there's been a couple things. But with that though, just kind of back to my question, if you could sum up, like, do you have a one top reason why you feel that the media just wants to make sure this goes away?
Whether they're attacking Q or a Q follower, the reason being is because an awakened and aware public is just what the powers in control do not want. Desperately, they do not want. The more unified we are, the more understanding we are of these different industries and how much corruption there is out there and how the corruption actually takes place within the medical and the defense industry and the intelligence complex, the media complex, and all these different avenues of our society. If we really understood that and we came together against these people in charge, then that's the end of their control systems, right?
Yeah.
And this has been emphasized over and over again in Q's posts throughout the years. This is not, it's really not political. It's not a left-right thing. It's not religious. It's not one religion over another one here. You know, I grew up atheist, like hardcore atheist, and that ended up changing once I, saw more information out there in the world. But I'm not by any way I would label myself religious person. I don't label myself at all. And this isn't about that. It's not about anything. It's just about unification. And the media and really the elites, they try to divide us with whatever they can, whether it's by topic, whether it's by gender, race, anything. And just that's why these are attacked so hard, because it gives, number one, just a view into all of this corruption across the spectrum. And two, it helps people unify behind a movement that's sort of above all of that. You know, what a lot of people got to understand is that President Trump used to be a registered Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
General Michael Flynn, who is his national security advisor that the deep state and the FBI and the DOJ tried to spy on illegally, General Michael Flynn used to be a registered Democrat. Both of these people, you know, essentially what it looks like to me is that they knew 2016, by they, I mean the military patriots behind the scenes. You know, they knew that 2016, the elites were trying to make it a lock for Clinton. So they essentially asked President Trump, hey, you're the only one with the money and the ability to do this. Will you basically do this? And I think Trump said, yeah, I'll do it. So he ran in 2016 for the presidency, got in, to everybody's surprise, even my own surprise. And I think that was assisted by patriots behind the scenes. And then just the whole storm, the craziness has ensued since then. And it's really, you know, again, they sort of sanitized all that corruption in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
So you remember in 2017, so many people were stepping down for sexual misconduct allegations and all these things. It looked like that they were taking deals, and that was their excuse to sort of step away and step down. So we had so many people in 2017 and 18 that did not seek re-election in the House of Representatives, in Congress. Many of them were Democrats and Republicans. And so the Republican side of the aisle, all the corruption there was sort of cleaned out. McCain went away. H.W. Bush went away, whatnot. Now they're trying to take down the Democrat side of things, all the corruption there. So it's been a long game. It's been a really long game the last few years.
Do you believe that kind of cleaning of that side? Do you believe that that's tied to the, I guess, 2017 into 2018? I don't know if you would consider that kind of more of when the Q movement really was starting to bud and kind of pick up steam. But do you connect the two?
Yeah, I do. I do connect the two. I also connect all of these CEO resignations we've been seeing over the last 1 to 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unprecedented. Literally, CEOs almost every day dropping from somewhere. Disney just the other day, Harley Davidson, Hulu, ABC, all of these just this month, and it's hitting record levels. Not just the CEO resignations and the board of director resignations, but all of this sealed court records, more technically, that have been in districts around the country being placed into the systems there since 2017. It's been incredible how many sealed court records there's been.
Mm-hmm.
So on average, there's only about 1,000 per year of sealed court records around the country in whatever the case. Maybe it might be a sensitive case, or they just want to keep the records closed for some reason. Court happens, they unseal the records. There's only about 1,000. Since October of 2017, there's been 5,000 per month on average court records sealed in districts around the country, and many of them are still sealed. And you can check this in the PACER systems, sealed court records. So just all this stuff going on, is it all a coincidence?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not at all, with the CEO's resignations, the sealed court records, with how many people are being arrested and exposed for all these different crimes. And yeah. Everything that's going on.
So, because I do want to ask you one more question about the media, but before I do, on this topic, so there's is the belief that behind the scenes there are these backdoor deals. So those step downs to the public are, well, they step down, but behind the scenes, what are they, circumventing being tried, or are they secretly being tried? I mean, what?
You know, it's up to speculation, a lot of it. I think quite a few of them, personal opinion, is that they are taking some sort of deal, and you know, that's the excuse that goes public just to hide their worst crimes because they cut some sort of deal.
Mm-hmm.
We have heard that within the FBI, a lot of the shakedown that's going there with the top brass of the FBI and the FISA abuses they were doing, they're beginning to rat on each other. A lot of them are ratting on each other. And very soon we'll be hearing about John Durham's report of the FISA abuses, and he should very well be bringing some prosecutions, some criminal charges with that against high-level FBI, DOJ, and even CIA. So yeah, I think a lot of it is they're just ratting on each other because they're seeing the writing on the wall. They know that their candidate that they wanted in 2016 didn't get in, and now there's a candidate in there that's essentially freeing up the rank and file of the FBI to do their jobs mm-hmm. and the rank and file of the NSA to do their jobs. And this is being allowed to happen now. We don't have any more SWAT members that are in the top few places of these three-letter agencies mm-hmm. to stifle what's gone on below them. So now that a lot of hands are getting untied, and frankly, a lot of blackmail strings are getting cut too. And that's what a lot of people have to understand, is a lot of what's gone on in corrupt circles has gone on because people are leveraged to do things for these corrupt secret societies. So that's also been getting handled as well. So just a lot is getting freed up to allow huge changes to take place. And the changes really haven't even really gotten started. You know, what they had to do with Q, why Q is so important, is to get the public awareness level to a certain point so these changes could begin happening. I think back to 5-6 years ago when I first came across the idea of a mass arrest of the deep state. And thinking back to that, I don't know why anybody thought it was even a viable option back then, because it all just would have gone into chaos. Mm-hmm. They had to get the public ready and understanding of what's going on first. So then when any sort of mass arrest happened, say John Brennan, former CIA director, or Hillary Clinton, or John Podesta, or any of these people, imagine them in orange jumpsuits getting arrested, then the public will, or at least a good portion of the public, more than if Q never would have been started, will understand what's going on, and there'll be much, much less chaos. So really Q, and still is, even two and a half years later, it's a preparation. It's a preparation for what comes next, and you know, what could very well happen this year, the beginning of sort of the swamp draining.
So what would that be? Is that the storm that they reference?
I do think there would be some indictments unsealed, and we'll begin to see, you know, who knows who the first big arrest will be. I sometimes speculate that it could be George Soros, maybe one of those other high officials in the FBI or DOJ that really abused that FISA process. But I think we're going to get one of those first indictments unsealed. You never like to throw dates out there, because mm-hmm. then you just look like a fool if it doesn't happen. But I think we'll see something big happen within the next 3 months, 4 months.
Interesting. Well, going back to the media, because I did want to ask you this part, because going back to that, like the Q movement is all about all this deep, dark child pedophile ring. It's all run by Democrats, and they kind of spin what it sounds like is an incorrect tale about what this all is. The other thing that I was seeing a lot of, because I watched a lot of pieces, both your videos, I watched news videos, again, just trying to get as much as I could preparing for our conversation. And one thing, I don't care to name the network, but it was a major network that did a piece that was all about threats, and that this journalist made it seem like I walked away from the interview, although after talking to you, I already knew it wasn't true, but walking away from watching that piece, that if I were to say, hey, I don't believe in this, or I don't follow it, or whatever, that I would get threatened, I would get, you know, violence against me. And it was all about the violence, that was what Q was advocating and that movement was advocating. Truth to that?
Since day five, there's been an incredible amount of attacks against the movement in general. We can call them psyops. We can call them false flags as a loose term. But there have been a lot of instances that have happened that actually look coordinated or manufactured to paint Q or paint Q followers as being crazy or as being violent or as being threats to public society. And I can go through numerous examples of events that have happened that the mainstream media will then, you know, the news wires will just go crazy the next day and then try to say, oh, this Q follower went crazy, and et cetera, et cetera. So one instance was an individual drove an armored truck onto the Hoover Dam. This was in June of 2018, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he was armed, and he, I guess they claim, had something having to do with Q on. And then because he was armed and stole an armored truck or something like that, it just, the whole situation sounds weird. I don't know anybody in the Q community we could say that would do that or even think of doing that. And when these instances happen too, nobody knows the individual. It's not like they're prominent names in the movement or, you know, talk to people. They're just, nobody knows. So that was one instance. Another one, and this was actually pretty near me in the Pacific Northwest here. In January of 2019 timeframe, I believe, this kid, he was late teenager, maybe early 20s, he started hallucinating and he thought his brother was like this lizard thing, and he actually killed his brother with a sword. Now, this is a real situation that happened, but how the media dressed it up is that they tried to make this kid look like a Q follower and this crazy conspiracy theorist that was hallucinating and killed his brother. But I actually was able to log on to the kid's Facebook and YouTube channel before they took him down because I saw the news story instantly. So I log on to this guy's Facebook page, scroll through months and months of his previous posts. There was like one post that had to do with Q, and it really didn't have to do with Q all that much. And so he wasn't really an avid promoter of it, didn't look like an avid follower of it. I checked out his videos. Hardly any of his videos talked about Q. One or two did. Most of them were talking about other subjects. In his last video that he uploaded, I think a day or two before he killed his brother, he was talking about being a targeted individual. He's talking about being followed, actually. So I'm thinking like, man, maybe this kid was mind controlled, or he was a patsy, or maybe he got hit with some voice to skull technologies or something like that. And they fabricated this situation to have him kill his brother just so they can run this story in the media. Hmm. And this sounds crazy. This sounds nuts. But when we're talking about the CIA and how the intelligence apparatus works, this isn't crazy. They have plenty of patsies.
So you believe those stories stem from the media's agenda to really discredit this movement? So is it safe to say then there's no advocacy for violence when it comes to those truly involved?
I haven't, and again, the Q followers, that's a subjective thing. So there are some people in the Q movement that
are bad apples. I mean, every group has bad apples.
Yeah, so. I wouldn't be friends with, I wouldn't promote or hang out with, but the Q posts themselves, again, just reading the Q posts themselves, you will find zero advocacy of any kind of violence in there. And again, there's been, you know, the deep state, they've even upped the ante to a point of committing false flag shootings just to take down 8chan and 8kun in the websites where QAnon posts. And you remember the El Paso shooting or the Christchurch shooting where all these shooters post these manifestos somehow to 8chan. And you read the manifestos, they're typed, number one, not handwritten. Number two, they're not signed off by the shooters. So there's actually no evidence in the first place that these manifestos were written by the shooters, but somehow the mainstream media says they were, and that gets printed everywhere. And then 8chan gets so heavily targeted that their service provider actually pulled this. This happened just last year. Mm-hmm. That's why they had to rebrand themselves as 8kun and come out as a new platform, because after the El Paso shooting in Texas, their service provider cut them. So they're trying to distract and divert and do anything they can. You know, I just want to touch on this really quick, because mm-hmm. I know your audience is into UFOs. Q started posting in October of 2017. It was only about 6 weeks later that the New York Times ran that story about black projects and black money and whatnot in December of 2017. Coincidental timing, huh? Coincidental timing. It was actually only like 2 days after Trump made his come before the storm statement in the White House that I believe Tom DeLonge did his first live stream of TTSA, where he introduced all his team there. So just all that timing, I believe through Q's drops, they actually said that a lot of this mainstream media UFO stuff we're seeing is a distraction. So distraction.
Distraction from what? Diversion. Just to make sure I'm following you.
Distraction from essentially the downfall of the deep state, distraction from these Q's drops, distraction from hardcore information hitting the public domain, and maybe even to politicize that issue against President Trump himself. So, you know, we're into 2020 now. It'll be interesting to see who might the candidate be for the election this year and how they may or may not try to bank on that UFO card to try to gain themselves some sort of attention, or, you know, politicize the issue for themselves to weaponize.
So with that, because I'm curious about that, about the distraction from cue drops, because there's no getting around it. The chronology's there. The timeline's there. TTSA was announced October 2017, around the same time. And that is something that has been thrown out there as criticism towards them by quite a few people. And full disclosure, it's not something I've gotten on board with when it comes to like a CIA PSYOP or something like that. But you're taking what sounds like a different angle. Do you believe that that was part of that, what, PSYOP to bring attention way over here so we don't pay attention to Q over here? Is that, again, making sure that I follow you? Is that kind of the idea?
I do think at some level, the motive behind many of these mainstream media UFO disclosures, including those from TTSA, yes, are to essentially set up a lot of gatekeepers or disclosure managers, if you will, managers of the narrative, and also whitewash or sanitize a lot of deeper conspiracy theories or deeper truths out of the disclosure movement. And I've particularly noticed this over the past couple of years, going to, you know, being invited to talk for a MUFON event, being invited to Contact in the Desert, being invited and going to a lot of different UFO events and whatnot. I've been asked quite a few times not to get political, not to bring up Q. I was invited to go film for Gaia. And I remember the Gaia producer, he specifically told me, yeah, we don't talk about WikiLeaks. We don't talk about those sorts of things. Click.
Was there a reason? I mean, I understand if sponsors are maybe turned off by it, but
I don't know. I can only speculate. I don't know if there's some sort of special interest there, but it really does seem that, especially in the conferences, you know, I long story, but interesting story about how I was sort of censored out of Contact in the Desert last year. They really just don't like this information going around, I've found. It's been pretty incredible. And a lot of them will call it crazy. They're really trying to sanitize a lot of this, you know, information, not just about Q, but I've even seen quite a few of prominent UFO voices literally take the mainstream line on so many issues. And I'm like, how can you say you're a good journalist or this activist for truth, but then you're taking the mainstream line on Russia or the vaccines or climate change or whatever the case is? So yeah, I do think this is sort of going off topic from Q to TTSA, but I think TTSA, there's some deeper, darker motive there. Don't know from where, but I feel it.
Well, you're not alone. Like I said, that's why I just was curious to get your take on it, because others are floating the same idea, different takes, with that CIA involvement.
And you look at the names that are connected there as well. We've got big banking family names, the Rockefeller Mellon family. We've got John Podesta's involvement, and there's a lot of evidence towards his corruption out there. You've got the ex-governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson. I don't know if you've seen the new documentary coming out called The Phenomenon or the trailer.
I have not, but I believe I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
I think it's dropping later this year. But anyway, there was a shot of Bill Richardson in this documentary. And I'm like, Bill Richardson, he's the one where the Epstein accuser is accusing Bill Richardson of being involved in sex trafficking. So I'm like, are all these people in the UFO community just like naive? Could be. A lot of them might not see these connections or these greater things going on, or a lot of them just might purposely be trying to hide this information for whatever reason. Hell, who knows? But we just really, that's why understanding these things, the elites in control, they just desperately do not want, because then if we saw how these different things connect and we start to become awake and aware to their corruption and stand up against it.
I've only got you for a couple more minutes, but I want to make sure that I get to really what ultimately is the end game. We've talked about, obviously, this storm talk where it's this cleansing of the, we'll call it evil, the corruption, the bad stuff, and it sounds like there's many different levels of that, and it's going on right now. is that ultimately the end game, or is there something even bigger that we haven't discussed yet when it comes to, you know, to the storm?
I mean, saying the end game assumes there's an end. You know, I don't even think there's an end. There's just different stages to this. So the first stage is, of course, getting a lot of this corruption exposed and the public at least understanding of as much as we can, because I think if 100% of the truth was just dumped onto the public, that probably wouldn't be a good thing. A lot of people would have to go to psych wards and mental hospitals to deal with it or just not believe it. So first we have to get them acclimated, and then the swamp draining begins to occur and arrests of these corrupt folks start happening, you know, and it's a question as to how that'll unfold. Huge question.
Mm-hmm.
Will it come in waves? Will it be all at once? You know, a lot of these different questions are involved in that. And then after, once these arrests happen, then what happens? Do a lot of these hidden zero-point energy technologies then get allowed to come out? You know, do a lot of these hidden, I don't want to call them cures, but hidden health information, that starts to come out? I mean, it's just up for anyone's guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're in for a huge paradigm shift in the next 5, 10, 15 years, you know, not too long into the future. And really, this is the beginning of it. This is the very beginning of it. So, you know, I'm absolutely honored to be on this program with you and have you interview me and talk about all these things. You know, it's very important information to get out there, no matter whether people are super triggered about it, think it's all fake, etc. You know, it's just incredibly important to entertain these sorts of ideas. And if you do your own research and continue to see these things, you'll see that it's not kind of a crazy conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and I appreciate you joining me and talking about it. I will say this, going back to that question about this fear of the violence, and one point that I forgot to make and I want to, is when I posted what I did about Q and not buying it, I never had anybody attack me from the Q side saying, how dare you? How dare you say that? Some people said very much along the lines that you did, hey, you're missing out. One shout out to one user because he's sticking out of my head. But if Brennan is in the room, shout out to you. But he had posted too that he was just really excited that because he's a Q follower, it sounded like, and that I was going to be talking to you. The most vicious response came from the people that were anti-Q, meaning it was the people that was against me having a sit-down friendly conversation with you. I won't name his name because he doesn't deserve the publicity, but a mainstream media journalist literally went on multiple, what I call Twitter tantrums, because I was having this show. Just a conversation. And to me, that not threatening, so I want to make sure that that's clear, but aggressive and just bizarre. And it's weird that the media portrays this group as kind of this aggressive, hey, if you don't follow it, there's going to be a problem for you. And I don't have the social media reach you do, but I have a little bit that I'm proud of. And I looked at some of the accounts today and yesterday as I was preparing for this show, and I see a lot of the hashtags for QAnon. Help me out on what the hashtag is. Who is
Q?
That's right. We haven't talked about that. That yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that one was trending yesterday.
Yeah, who is Q was trending all day yesterday, saying, you know, just obviously showing that this is something that, you know, is ongoing and that it's big and people want to know. But my whole point was looking at the followers that I do have and that those posts reached a lot of people. They didn't come after me. And again, it was the select few of people that did not want me to have this conversation that were the most aggressive and vicious, which I got a kick out of that. I mean, I was really surprised. So kudos to you for just saying, hey, man, you might be missing out, and accepting my invite to come on the show. So thank you for that. In the last minute or so, is there anything that you want to add? Is there any misconception that we haven't dealt with yet? Maybe about you, because obviously you're being attacked in the media. I'm seeing it. You're seeing it. You're talking about it on your website, JordanSather.com. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on. Is there anything that you want to add or correct for the record?
No, I think we went through a great interview here. We talked about a lot of the falsities that they try to attribute to QAnon or Q followers, like painting them as violent or crazy or something to that effect. We went through talking about how to legitimize this particular anonymous poster with the Q proofs and all of those we've seen. And we've talked about sort of all the other things going on linking to it too, like the CEO resignations and the sealed court records and everything having to do with that. I think this was a great, great show, my friend. I appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate it as well. And so thank you for that. So we'll go ahead and end it. Obviously, to all of those who are joining me live, thank you for doing so. And if you are listening on the podcast version, which the majority of you do, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel where I do broadcast most of these interviews live. To get there, it's www.theblackvault.com/live. That will bounce you directly to the YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe, like these videos, give them thumbs up. That is all very, very helpful. Jordan, again, thank you very, very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening and thank you for watching. This is John Greenwald Jr. signing off. We'll see you next time.